The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Thank you guys for tuning in once again to PWU here on this February 22nd. And we got a bunch of news to cover. We got this weekend's huge tag team warfare.
Not chaos.
It was Cage Chaos.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about that tonight. It's a huge weekend for CCW. Matt Hardy is going to be there. Davey Richards, Angelina Love is going to be there. Very excited about that. We're going to talk about SmackDown. Some cool stuff happened on there. New name for the Hall of Fame. Big name.
Deserving name.
Before we get to that, though, let me introduce your panel for tonight. Of course, I am your host, Shannon Young, and down at the end of the table is Asa Gray, the five-star man.
All five.
Wearing the Batman t-shirt.
Yes, that I was going to wear to jury duty, but it got canceled.
Yay, jury duty. Next to me, the lovely...
Allie's looking at me like she doesn't believe me.
That's the next one. Allie, not actually... Still not a bear.
Hello.
And, of course, next to me, Dalton, not actually a... Don't worry, we'll censor that part. You're good.
So
he's not a grown-up.
Yeah.
He's one of the Lost Boys. How's that Rufio Kickstarter going?
I knew I was going to have to censor it, and I did it anyway, because I wanted the reaction that much. And thank you for giving it to me.
I laughed so hard early in the pre-show, and that was the reaction that you got.
Yeah, but we can't talk about that laugh. That laugh was too mean.
There was no laugh to the last one.
There was on the inside of me. But let's talk about something that's not funny real quick. Let's jump right into it. Last week, we had Chavo Guerrero Sr. passed away, which was very sad. And, you know, as soon as we stopped recording the show, more. Yeah. Terrible, terrible, sad deaths coming out of the wrestling world. Nicole Bass passed away on...
Reported on like Wednesday? Yeah. But she didn't actually die until like Thursday, and then it was Friday.
Because at first it was like, oh, is it a hoax? Oh no, she's not actually, you know, she's in the hospital. It was kind of a mess initially.
Double H came in and kind of clarified, because I thought she had passed away already. Mm-hmm. And then he came in and clarified and said, no, she was actually on life support. She was brain dead. Mm-hmm. And that they were going to let her pass away that day.
Yeah.
So of course she did. And then she passed away. George the Animal Steel passed away not long after that. Mm-hmm. And then Ivan Koloff passed away.
Right.
Of the three of them, I mean, I'm most bummed out about George the Animal Steel, because, you know, I'm an 80s wrestling fan and an old wrestling fan. Mm-hmm. And he was one of the all time greats. I didn't see much of Ivan Koloff. I will be completely honest. I didn't see much of him, but I do know of him and know enough of him
to. You would have had to have been a fan of NWA in like the early to late, or well, during the 80s to know who Ivan Koloff was.
And his big claim was that he ended Bruno Sammartino's 7-year championship reign.
Right. Yeah. Right. And I believe he teamed up with,
Nikita.
Nikita Koloff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And he was just a legendary wrestler. And then of course, Nicole Bass from,
Attitude Era.
The Attitude Era. And the only thing I remember her from was the whole, who was it? Was it Jeff Jarrett? Was it China? No, Jeff Jarrett's the reason she quit.
She was kind of brought in just to be fed to China.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, because they she wanted was like a bigger to, China.
Someone put it very accurately. Like, she was just kind of she was China's giant Gonzalez.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they just brought in this physical specimen who would just lose to the person that they wanted to lose, and then they didn't really anything else for her.
As far as I knew, that was the end of her career, was that WWE segment. But she actually went on to do much more in the world of wrestling.
Yeah.
So it's not like she was a one-trick pony. You know, she actually earned her place, and I don't have why they passed away here with me. Do you guys know? I heard they passed away. I know with Nicole Bass, she obviously something happened to where she became, you know,
right,
brain dead or whatever. George and Ivan, I'm not positive on.
Yeah. Well, and this is one of those where it's always sad, but at least with the two of them,
they were older.
Yeah.
Like they were able to live full lives and I mean, Bass wasn't like super young, but she wasn't.
She was still in her prime. I should have been in her 50s probably.
I think 40s.
She was still quite young.
Yeah.
But no, like getting back on George the Animal Steel though, I've never really watched any of his work outside of what he did.
Clips and.
I mean the clips, but even then, the only thing I've ever really seen was whenever he was in the Oddities. Cause he was in that. George the Animal Steel, Oddities, late 90s.
No, I remember the oddities. I remember the oddities. Remember, yeah, I just don't remember them.
Are you sure George the Animal Steel? I'm almost 100% positive.
All right, roll call for the oddities. Kurgan.
The Cartman doll.
John Tenta, you may remember as Earthquake slash the Shark. He was Golgan, I think was his name. And yeah, he had a Cartman doll that he can't, and Cheesy Poofs. He would come, cause at the time, Al, you have to understand, South Park was huge. Like huge. So was, Cheese Puffs and, Cartman. Yeah. They were like the biggest thing. So of course, Vince McMahon said,
well, this,
jump on it, damn it.
Apparently he actually struck a deal with Trey Parker and Matt Stone, and that was basically his ticket to immunity. Like they agreed that they wouldn't mock WWF pro wrestling as long as, you know,
they were
Cartman, yeah, they like part. They let Cartman be on the show.
Also,
which then eventually they ended up doing a wrestling episode.
That was also my.
To answer your question, George Steele was with the Oddities. Yeah.
I guess I just don't remember. I kind of remember, and I don't.
I barely remember the Oddities.
Here
at all.
You go.
I remember Luna Vachon was in it.
Yeah, here's your entire. This is the Wikipedia page. We have the Jackal, Kurgan, Giant Silva, Golga, which is Tenta. Violent J, Shaggy 2 Dope.
Yes, and that was the part I was going to get to.
Oh, yeah.
That was Luna my introduction to ICP.
Me too, yeah.
Was, other than my friends listening to it, that was the first time I ever saw them. Right. They were huge wrestling fans. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were. They were big wrestling fans.
Because they ended up in WCW too, didn't
yes.
they?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I want to give a shout out to, I didn't mention this at the start of the show, but real quick. Cody Sandusky's here. He's in the Peanut Gallery. He hasn't been on the air in a long, long time because he's busy with his life.
Well, so not for us.
With like an actual job.
But we're super happy to have him here, and it's always good to see our old friend Cody. Anyway, I just want to say that. I don't want you to feel like we were ignoring you, Cody. Anyway, yeah. So I hated the Oddities for first off.
No, I loved them. But
I hated that damn song that ICP did for him. I love John Tenta. He was always one of my favorites.
Now that song's just stuck in my head.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Gum-dum, diddy-diddy, way
I
to
got,
go.
Turn around. That's smack gonna, your cheeks.
You're going to get beat down by a clown. They got it ease.
They were foreshadowing it for was, all the shenanigans from last year.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's the only way I knew George the Animal Steel. Like, that's the only.
Well, George the Animal Steel, everyone has their own, like, interesting story in life, and they do. But George Animal Steel is actually really interesting because he was a teacher. He was a teacher and a coach, I believe. And he actually moonlighted as a wrestler. And, didn't really go hardcore into it until it came out, like it was discovered that he was a wrestler. And then he turned it into like one of the most successful, just beloved careers. I mean, most people that are wrestling fans, even if they aren't like real hardcore, you can show them a picture of George Animal Steel. They might not know his name, but they know him.
Or at least a video of him eating the turnbuckle.
Eating the turnbuckle. One of the most classic, moments. Mm-hmm. So,
I think Target has an Elite, coming out of him soon in like their Hall of Fame line. So I'm really, really hoping I can get my hands on one of those. Cause it even came with like the,
turnbuckle padding?
No, not the turnbuckle padding. The like stuffed monkey.
Yeah, that he always carry around into the ring.
It's coming with that. So I was like, oh, I kind of want it. I wanted it before he passed.
And if I remember correctly, Nicole Bass, the reason she left WWE, you remember this? You remember why?
This was way out of my, I don't remember.
Jeff Jarrett, you know, he would always hit people with guitars.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently he didn't use a trick guitar to hit her.
Oh.
He hit her with a real guitar.
Nope.
And that was it for her. She was gone after that.
Yeah.
Because she wasn't well liked, if I remember correctly. Because, of course, China was probably afraid that, you know, because she was just a bigger China.
Yeah.
I didn't like her in WWE, but I never saw any of her work outside of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't really judge.
Well,
like,
granted,
how well
they
she
didn't
did.
Really give her a whole lot
no.
for you
yeah.
to latch
go out
on
there
to.
And growl. I just remember she had a quote. It was like, what's your problem? Or, I think it was she would look at people like, what's your problem? And I hate it. Like, I don't know. It just drove me crazy. But we're very sad that they pass away.
Yeah.
You always hate to hear when someone you know in wrestling passes away. Cause Roddy Piper always said that too many of them are passing away.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I think that is skewed a little bit compared to other sports, it's still tragic.
Yeah.
It's tragic.
Especially just four
in a
just
row.
Just so close together. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully that's the last we'll talk about death on the show. Although with what Vader cryptically tweeted out last week, I'm real scared.
Which didn't he delete those tweets?
I don't know. I hope he did because that's real sad.
Mm-hmm.
don't want to think about that. Let's move on to happier news.
Yes.
Happier news. SmackDown.
Yes.
It was a huge SmackDown this week. And the unfortunate news coming out of that is Naomi had to give up her title.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was injured in that match against Alexa Bliss at
Elimination Chamber.
Thank you. We all thought that Alexa Bliss was the one that was going to get injured. When Naomi came down on her, she was just turned the wrong way.
Well, when she came down onto the Naomi's knee.
Yeah.
It
was almost like a
split
leg.
There were two different instances where like, oh, that hurt somebody.
In a row.
Yeah.
Two. But it turns out Alexa Bliss, that tight a Bliss Fit body is actually made of steel.
It's a dying star.
It's Gundanium.
It's density.
Gundanium. Two people got that reference. Not Cody.
Was it Gundam?
Yeah.
Gundam Wing?
It's from Gundam.
Three people got it.
I wonder how I could have put those together.
The five-star deducer.
I was going to say adamantium, but that's too easy. Too easy. yeah, so she had to give up her title. We now have a women's match set for, is it next week?
Well, no. So Naomi comes out. It's a really touching moment, too, because Daniel Bryan initially comes out and brings out Naomi and says, you know, it was the hardest thing I had to do when I won the championship. And then because of injury, I had to give it up. So it's so hard for me to come and ask you to have to do the same. And the crowd again chants, "You deserve it." Daniel really kind of puts over how much she's worked and how much she does deserve it. Naomi mentions that she doesn't know if she'll be, because she's worried that giving that up means that she'll also have to give up that, and she points to the WrestleMania sign. But she gives up the title. On her way to the back, Alexa Bliss comes out, cuts the promo of her career so far. It was amazing. Just, she was intense, her facial expressions, I was blown away by it. The only thing is she got, like, the crowd was nuclear.
Nuclear.
Yes.
We'll bleep that.
Whichever. Done.
11 minutes.
And they started chanting, "We can't hear you," which her response was, "I know you can hear me, now shut up and let me talk." Just, she was on it. She did it look like get a little bit rattled the first time they chanted "what," which, by the way, everyone in that crowd who said that, long walk off a short pier.
Worst chant in wrestling history.
Yeah, just garbage. So bad. But then she also shut that down. Eventually, like, she even calls, like, "If you say what one more time," which
they did.
Yeah. But she demanded to be awarded the championship. Daniel Bryan made a match, Becky Lynch versus Alexa Bliss, for the championship right then. Alexa Bliss beat Becky Lynch clean ish. Like, she did this weird, like, double cross chop to the throat and then rolled her up and got handfuls of tights.
Was it a closed fist?
I don't know.
Because if it wasn't a closed fist, it's legal.
So Alexa Bliss is the new...
Oh, so she won the championship back.
Two-time okay. SmackDown Women's Champion.
I didn't get to watch all of SmackDown. I did watch the Battle Royal, which we'll talk about here in a second. Real quick, can I just say the difference between Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon on SmackDown and their interactions?
I was going to say, like, Daniel Bryan being on SmackDown?
Yeah. No, just their interactions with the talent on SmackDown and the way they present them as the GM compared to Raw, where Stephanie is stepping on everyone constantly and Mick Foley's out there like a bumbling fool who doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
Where the difference between SmackDown and Raw when it comes to the GMs is night and day.
The entire bit a couple months back whenever Dean Ambrose was kicked out of it was right after Survivor Series because it cost him and he almost cost him. And, like, Shane was like, "No, just leave." And just the one time he was dressed up as a Mountie because they were in Canada. Mm-hmm. And he was just like, "Daniel, you're going to ask me why I'm dressed as a Mountie? Why?" And he's trying not to laugh. He's like, "Because the Mountie always gets his man." And Daniel Bryan's had to completely cover his face.
It's like you can tell they're having fun on SmackDown. Yeah. And on Raw, it's
nuts to think that the writing team can be that much of a difference because Vince is still very much fully final say-so on both shows.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's just nuts to see how much better SmackDown is.
Well, not only that,
because this whole episode as a whole was crazy good.
I still feel like you have to give blame to Stephanie McMahon. I don't want to beat a dead horse because, like, I think she's good. But
she's great at what she does. It's just her character is so intolerable.
It's too much, too. She's on screen. And then we've said this. My God.
She is overexposed.
How long have we been saying that?
The authority
Yeah, this isn't just like now. I've been saying this before I ever had a podcast. I've been saying this for like 10 years.
Yeah.
Too much Stephanie McMahon. And their answer to that is shove more Stephanie McMahon down your throat, along with Mick Foley, the world's poorest dressed homeless person.
He wore that suit.
Yeah, he did. That good for him. Dirty old man.
Are we talking about Raw at all?
Yeah.
A little bit.
Okay.
A little bit later.
Yeah.
Well, and there was a segment on there that made me think of it. Just, again, the difference between SmackDown and Raw when it comes to the GMs, it's just 9-9.
No, you said suit, and it reminded me of something on Raw that I want to just talk about.
We'll talk about
there's a couple of things on Raw.
Okay. Let's just jump real quick over to the Battle Royal. Mm-hmm. I know that should probably be last.
That's basically Harper is the Harper.
Well, not only
that,
but they set up Miz versus Cena more because John Cena eliminated the Miz, and then Miz went back in and eliminated Cena, which, by the way, I get that it's a no DQ match. Mm-hmm. Basically what happened, he throws him out. Miz runs back in the ring when everyone's distracted and tosses John Cena out. which counts as a, that which should not see, count which, as a, no.
Yeah.
That doesn't then, make any sense.
Yeah. I mean, but it's just one of those things. It's always been like that in wrestling. The Royal Rumble, it's the same thing. Like,
if someone gets tossed out of the Rumble,
that's what set up Lesnar Goldberg won.
It's, they're supposed to, you know, it's the referee's job to stop that from happening, which they
were distracted.
Which they were great at doing it to Cena. Yeah. Whenever he was like, oh no, that doesn't count, runs back in, and then they immediately all run in and like it's four of them pulling him away.
Yeah, that was just silly. And it's one of the things, I get it, but it just, I don't, it drives
and
me
crazy.
And
that does also come
like
after.
Like when they do the damn tag behind the ref's back, the heels will just.
Oh yeah, and they just make the sound.
Oh my God. When I was a kid and the good guy couldn't get a tag, but then mm-hmm. the bad guys would clap their hands behind and then the ref wouldn't say anything.
Mm-hmm. And then the good guys actually do get the tag, but the ref's back is turned.
Yes.
So then he.
I would get so mad. You can ask my dad. You have. The Ouija board.
I mean, it's almost like the bad guys are doing something intentionally bad to make you upset.
And it worked. Hook, line, and sinker. They got me. So that's one of the things coming out of that is Miz and John Cena. That is just furthering that storyline to set up WrestleMania.
Which that comes after Maryse attacked Nikki Bella in her False Count Anywhere match with Natalya costing her the match.
I didn't know that one either.
Yep.
I didn't get to see a lot of SmackDown.
That happened.
But here's the big thing coming out of SmackDown to me. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff. Mm-hmm. But Harper.
Yeah.
Luke Harper looked like $1 billion.
You did.
In
and
that.
It's so great to see.
Yes,
like,
it is.
I'm really hoping that this is really, we were so worried about what they're going to do with like Orton Wyatt that, you know, my best case scenario was always, we'll just throw in Harper. That'll at least make it interesting. This is beyond interesting how they've been doing this.
Tell the people who may not have seen it what happened.
So the very end. The very end, it comes down to the final two of AJ Styles and Luke Harper. They're fighting over the turnbuckle. And
which, by the way, that's a fresh matchup right there. Harper versus Styles.
Yeah.
That just on paper alone sounds sold. Yeah, absolutely.
They're fighting on the turnbuckle. They take a tumble. The camera doesn't catch it. The referees argue whose feet landed first. Two of them say it was Harper. Two of them say it was Styles. So they both get in the ring. Daniel Bryan comes out and says, okay, we have to rule it a draw. Because there was no camera on that side, I guess. Like, so they didn't actually, because they never went to a replay like they did with like Rock and Big Show or Cena Batista.
Which Mick Foley tweeted, I don't know if you saw, he tweeted, that never would have happened on Raw. Me and Stephanie would have, that's what instant replay's for. And I wanted to say, shut up, you vagrant.
It's like, oh, but you know.
Go back to your box.
Who would have gotten their lawyers involved to overthrow a match ruling?
like that. Allie just gave her a sassy laugh.
So Daniel Bryan announces that next week there will be a number one contendership match between AJ Styles and Luke Harper. AJ Styles gets in Harper's face, shoves him, turns to kind of go to Daniel Bryan, and Harper just discus clotheslines him out of his boots.
He does. He looked great when he did it.
And the best part of – that's not even the best part of that segment. The best part of that segment was as soon as he does it, the crowd goes nuts. The first time I watched it, I was really upset because I thought they were booing. But then I realized, no, they're just going, Luke, 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 Luke. Like, they're fully behind Luke Harper. And this is such a organic, great build towards a potential WrestleMania match.
Yeah.
That we've been complaining about, everything was so predictable.
Yeah.
That, oh, this is just so refreshing to see.
Which this, I mean, this still could lead to the, very, very easily could lead to the Shane McMahon, AJ Styles match.
And that's kind of the thing where it's like, oh, well, AJ
you screwed
just,
me out of it.
Yeah.
I want a piece of you. Mm-hmm. But adding Harper to the main event, Harper versus Orton versus Wyatt, again, sold.
Right.
Absolutely sold. I love that Luke Harper is getting this shot because you remember when the Shield broke up and it seemed like all three of those guys did pretty well almost mm-hmm. right out of the gate. Seth Rollins clearly was destined for great things because he was the pick of the Authority.
Right.
Roman Reigns at the time.
We always knew.
Yeah. We knew he was going to be big. And at mm-hmm. the time, he still had the support of the fans.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dean Ambrose was kind of the wild card, but he did well for himself then and then went on to do much better.
Yeah.
With the Wyatts, it was completely different. Mm-hmm. It was like Bray Wyatt was the star and Luke Harper and Eric Rowan. They were there. They were afterthoughts.
Harper did win the IC belt.
But
whenever he was. Not with Wyatt.
Yeah.
But I feel like they didn't treat him the way they're treating him now.
No,
like,
no.
This is definitely the best I've ever treated. I'm just saying, like.
And then Rowan even got that push. You know.
He got a story. Like, he got a storyline. He got a separate
character. Wasn't a good one.
Yeah.
He was a vineyard.
So. Yeah. I'm really excited to see this. Harper definitely deserves it. I do hope that this doesn't mean that Rowan does get lost in the shuffle. Cause I like Rowan. I like Eric Rowan a lot.
I wasn't talking bad about him. I'm just saying he was the one.
But he very much was kind of the one that you were worried about. He would be worried about getting lost in the shuffle because Luke Harper as Brody Lee, like, generated a lot of really goodwill with independent wrestling fans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we knew, like, oh no, this is just a really good big man.
Yeah, and when Luke Harper came in, he was always out of the Wyatts, other than Bray Wyatt, because clearly he had to be something special for them to book him the way they did.
Yeah.
Luke Harper was always the guy that I said, that guy's gonna be a star.
Yeah.
I could just see it in him. Like, he's wearing a dirty tank top, he's wearing jeans, he's got crazy hair with the bald spot and this huge beard, and there's no one that looks like him in wrestling.
Yeah.
He's got that whole Bruiser Brody kind of feel to it, which mm-hmm. is phenomenal.
It's no pun intended. And now, like, he's more vocal in the ring in his segments. He got a talking promo, which was amazing.
Even the little screens and stuff he does during the matches.
The backstage thing where he was in the room with the lights talking about family. Like, yes, I'm all on board.
So we're excited about that.
All on board.
Mania
the hype train
is finally starting to shape up. Kind of
this one. The SmackDown side of things is looking better.
Well,
AJ Styles.
We've been saying that for a while.
Yeah.
The other part of that is the Usos.
Usos, American Alpha beat, Breezango pretty easily. But after it, the Usos continued that the hair raising on the back of your neck, it's not paranoia, it's the Usos. But they did this tandem promo that was intense and loud and believable. And like, so, you know, ever since they changed, the attitude changed, the wardrobe changed, all of that, like, this is the first time it really feels like we know who they are as characters besides, oh, now we're bad guys.
Instead of them dressing like, because I remember I criticized the fact that they changed their outfits to basic, I don't want to say
like
basic
streetwear.
Street attire. Yeah. But without ever giving them a reason to or an explanation for it. They just all of a sudden
this
started dressing
who they are.
Yeah. It's like, we're bad guys now. See how bad we look?
Yeah.
But now it sounds like they're actually giving them character to go along with it.
And they really are. Like this, if anyone hasn't seen the promo, it's really good. They're feeding off of each other very well. They're finishing each other's sentences like you would think, you know, twins would do.
And that's amazing.
But they don't do it in like a cheeky, like, quiche way, like
they do it like in a kind of scary way, like I don't like that.
Yeah, like you just, if you round the corner and you see these two guys, you're gonna be like, oh, and they start yelling at you like this, like, no, I actually do not. So I'm, even though we've seen it a few times before, I'm pumped for an American Alpha Usos feud.
And kudos to the Usos. Oh, that sounded weird. For still being so relevant and entertaining after so long.
Right.
Oh, no, I've always loved them. Anytime they're in a match, I'm happy.
I even threw it, like, I threw it in the group chat. Like, this is the most entertained I've been with the Usos since the first time they did the Haka.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, oh, no, this is new.
Well, because
there
for a while, the Usos were, I mean, we made
that
reference
was their
to
whole, it. That was their character. Was
yeah.
They did the
war
Maori
dance.
War dance.
Yeah, and then they would be in the opening of every pay-per-view, usually on the pre-show.
Yep.
They would usually wrestle the Wyatts.
In amazing matches.
Yeah, but
those were always the open. Those weren't pre-show matches. Those were always the opening matches of a pay-per-view.
But after a while, we kind of got sick of it.
I didn't.
I always enjoyed watching the same people over there over and over again.
It was the Harper. It was the Orton Sheamus feud again.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay, I get it. Like every time you do it, it's good, but I need something different.
We need something fresh. You got to keep it fresh.
Yeah.
Waka waka.
So now that
and
now the Usos have, and I'm super happy. Just SmackDown as a whole was
SmackDown
awesome.
Is just great in general right
also,
now.
Also, someone did a stat, like 34% of SmackDown was dedicated to the women. So we had the opening segment was the Naomi relinquishing the title into the match, into Mickey James, Becky Lynch, and then Natalya and Nikki Bella both got backstage interviews before their match. They had a pretty decent length match that Falls Count Anywhere.
Well, it's good to see that the women feel relevant on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Whereas the women on Raw, they tell you they're relevant, but it doesn't feel.
Yeah.
Like there was that segment on Raw where Stephanie McMahon asked Bayley to give back the title. And we might talk about that a little bit later, but just in case we don't.
Do we want to just jump into Raw then? Real quick?
Yeah. Let's jump
because
into Raw.
Because I don't, that was one of the things I didn't write down. Because there are a couple things that I wanted to mention.
Let's start with the Bayley thing since I already mentioned it. Mm-hmm. Stephanie wants Bayley to come out and give the title back because she wanted under, circumstances.
Right.
Because of Sasha Banks.
Sasha
last
hit her
week.
With a crutch. Yeah.
Charlotte for an entire year had.
Well, that's the thing. Someone mentioned, I don't know where I saw it, but they were like, no one mentioned that Dana Brooke came out to interfere.
Yeah.
Old man Flair.
So.
Like 80 times.
The other stupid, like just mind boggling part of that is that Stephanie McMahon is the GM. She could strip her of the title if she thought it was that much injustice. But instead, she wants her to do the right thing. So Bayley comes out and is the defiant babyface, which she's never been. Like the loud in your face kind of, she's always been the underdog hugger cutesy, and that's her character.
Right.
I mean, it's good that they didn't just keep that as her character for this.
So you're happy that she showed some backbone?
I was going to say, could you imagine if she just.
This is ridiculous with.
Go. I mean, go. Was, go.
Embrace the hate.
Like what we said, like Ric Flair was there for how long interfering for Charlotte? And then every whenever match. It wasn't there, it was Dana Brooke. There was always someone there helping Charlotte. And no one came out to say, no, you won that under shenanigans. You have to.
Well, that's because Stephanie McMahon's a bad guy.
I know, but still.
Now you get
like,
the frustration.
If they would have just had Bayley go, oh, okay, I guess I have to get this back. You ruined Bayley.
Yeah, could you imagine if she did just hand, like, yeah.
I was like, you're
I'm sorry.
Right.
If she was like
I'm
playing
sorry.
The super nice role and was yeah. like, yeah, I'm sorry, Charlotte.
Gross.
Like whenever she was the NXT champion and Alexa Bliss came out with Buddy and Murphy. And just took the belt from her.
That was, yeah.
Also, just you reminded me that there was a team named Buddy and Murphy.
Blake and Murphy.
Blake and Murphy. Oh, my God. Buddy Murphy was the one dude.
Yeah,
one
he
of
was
those.
Just the one guy.
Buddy and Murphy.
They were NXT. Well, Buddy Murphy was a tag team champion.
What happened to the other? What happened to either of them?
They're both in NXT.
They just randomly will show up once. Samoa Joe ate them both. Like. And I don't mean that as a fat joke. I mean that as he just came out and wrecked their big, like, blow-off feud match.
I like to think
because that was his, Regal!
Regal!
I like to think someone, is it Blake that's dating Alexa Bliss?
One of them.
It's
whichever
one.
I like to think that someone goes, hey man, I know you weren't on the show tonight. Sorry. That, your life must suck, huh? And then he looks at Alexa Bliss going, you ready to go? And he's like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah. He's like, it's fine.
We're all good over here. I haven't seen a lot of what happened on Raw other than those segments, so you're gonna have to film
that. That happened. One thing I want to give a good mention to is Braun Strowman and Big Show.
Oh, I heard they had a classic match.
They did. And like, so remember in, I think it was Taboo Tuesday when Big Show and Kane wrestled and it was literally a chain wrestling clinic.
Yeah.
Big Show and Braun Strowman did something very similar and it was nuts to see like, oh, so Strowman can also, he's been doing this for like a 3 weeks now, like yeah. He's been a wrestler for an hour and a half.
Also heard he did a kip up.
He did, and that's what that's the main thing. And it was an ungodly one. It wasn't the Big Show one where he's got a hand on the rope and pulls himself up. Big Show had him in a wrist lock, and he just rocks back and like a horror movie villain,
yeah,
just on his feet.
But give credit to Big Show because I'm sure he definitely played a part.
I'm willing to bet he did, but I'm also willing to bet that Braun Strowman could just. Do one on his own if he needed to.
Double H and I were in here talking about that today when we were all talking about wrestling with Allie. And, I remember telling like, man, Braun Strowman's just good.
Yeah.
Which is great considering how much I didn't like him immediately when he went into Wyatts. Because I was afraid he was, usurping Luke Harper.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, now they're pushing him as Bray Wyatt's right hand man. And they did, but it never got to the level I was afraid it would. Then they broke him away from Bray Wyatt. And since then has just been killing it.
And also it's that whole Great Khali thing. You see a giant guy who you haven't really seen on NXT in the independent scene. And you're just like, oh no, he's going to hurt everybody. He's going to be terrible.
He's going to win the title. He's going to be awful. I'm going to have to sit through his terrible, terribleness.
But now it's just like, oh no, I'm actually super stoked to see anything that he does.
Agreed.
One of the other things on Raw that I think Dalton was wanting to talk about.
Yeah, Dalton, what do you want to talk about? Something about a suit?
Samoa Joe. Whenever he came out and just attacked Sami Zayn again.
Yeah.
And he was wearing the black pants, black shirt, and just the way he looked at him and said, this is your life now. And threw him into the ring. Like, yeah. Destroyed him. He said, this is your life now. He yelled it very intensely. And then just threw him in the ring. God, how did TNA mess up the one man nation of violence?
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Why do they hate Sami Zayn so much?
They don't hate him. He's good. It's Dolph Ziggler whenever he's a good guy.
Someone,
he looks so good getting beat up.
He does. Someone posted this on, I think it was on 411.
Oh, no. I don't even want to.
No, this is a good point. It's not that. They said, basically Sami Zayn has turned into Kane for the authority. Every time they want to punish someone, they put him against Sami Zayn. Mick Foley will say, oh, you did this. Well, you're going to get Sami Zayn tonight. Except, whereas Kane would usually beat them because he was Kane, Sami Zayn almost always loses. Like, who is getting punished there, actually? Because I love Sami Zayn. He's the best taxi cab driver turned wrestler I've ever seen.
The WWE.
For a Canadian, he's not bad. press start to join.
Whenever I got the Walmart WWE Elite, it came with his Underground shirt and then that stupid hat. He's wearing the hat in my collection.
Of course he is.
Because he can pull it off.
Yeah.
It's a good hat.
That actually wasn't the thing that I thought you were going to want to talk about. I thought you were going to want to talk about...
Oh, no, I don't want to talk about it. It's going to make me angry.
About the club. No, they actually won because Roman Reigns got disqualified in another handicap match.
Were we watching that part together?
The smallest part that I saw was just whenever...
Cause we watched this together, didn't we?
Just that one part. That's all that we saw. Yeah. Roman Reigns, you want to fight the club? Find a partner. No, I'll take them both.
I'll handle them both.
Yeah, he's hardcore. just that disgusts me still. They did it again. It's the same thing you did last week. You're literally showing us the same match.
And it's like,
and you're still just punking out your tag team champions.
You're trying your entire division. You're trying so hard to push down our throats that Roman Reigns is tough. We get it.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns is tough. That's not how you're going to get him over.
No.
You want to get him over the internet wrestling fans who boo him?
Mm-hmm.
Don't have him destroy two internet wrestling darlings.
Yeah. You know, when he had that, I saw from 2 years ago, I had a quick little review on my Facebook page on Fastlane, and his match with Daniel Bryan was amazing.
No, yeah. And Roman Reigns is really, really good.
Yeah, he got cheered after that match. Even after beating Bryan, he was getting cheered because it's almost like, hey, if you put him in a respectable match where he doesn't just come out looking like the Roman Reigns machine.
Yeah. Right.
People will cheer him.
It's the John Cena complex. When John Cena was pushed as the guy that could not be beaten and he's just smiling off attacks, stuff like that, everyone hated him.
Yeah.
When you presented him as a fighting champion, doing good matches and taking things seriously, remember how beloved was that US title open challenge?
Yeah.
You know, that's what you need to do with Roman Reigns. Stop telling me he's tough.
Yeah.
And poor Roman Reigns, who you know, every time he goes in, they're like, Roman, you're going to go over the entire roster tonight, just goes,
cool.
I don't want to.
Can I lose tonight?
Can I lose tonight? Who do you want to lose to? I don't know. Who does the internet like? Well, they like the Sami Zayn guy. Book it.
Yeah, let's do that. Oh, hey, quick change of plans.
You're destroying him.
You're actually going to be beating Gallows and Anderson again. What? Yeah. Why?
But what about Zayn? Well, no, that's the thing. You're going to use Zayn like a bat, and you're going to swing him into the
swinging motherfuckers like.
I mean, in fairness, Reigns did lose to Balor his first night on Raw.
No, yeah, he has taken a handful of big losses.
But that's just the tease. That's the tease WWE throws out to make you go, no, see?
Well, maybe.
He's beatable.
Yeah.
But then the moment he's put in a big time match where he could go for a title or something, you know he's going to win.
I miss Finn Balor.
I don't, not after that picture today. I don't want Allie to ever look at that picture again, which I don't know why I said that because I don't know her.
The only other thing that
did you see the picture of Finn Balor today?
Yeah, I did. I'm about to show it to
Allie.
With
abs on top of abs.
I've seen it because I follow him on Instagram.
Well, I'm about to look at it again. I'm sorry, guys.
if you haven't yet, go to Twitter because that's where I saw it. The Twitter comments on that picture are the
hilarious.
Best thing I've seen. All
it's not as good as the sign at NXT that was
one chick?
Face me Finn.
And they aired it.
They showed it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like that keyboard picture that was like, I'm shook, bitch. That was
The only other two things that I kind of want to mention on Raw.
We
got we've moved on now, Dalton.
Yes.
So.
Move on from Finn Balor's perfect body.
Can you?
No.
Michael Cole did a sit-down interview with Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar.
Yes. Let's talk about that.
We kind of disagreed on this, but the reason I want to bring it up is because they even did the same thing for someone else, but they did it way better. So instead of doing the normal sitting across from each other, Brock Lesnar picks up his chair and just plants in front of the camera and proceeds to bob his head like he's listening to like K-pop, while Paul Heyman did another great promo of him just my beast, like he's the beast incarnate, the conqueror. He will destroy Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar doesn't think that Kevin Owens is any good.
Yeah.
But Lesnar just kind of sitting there, and it's meant to portray Lesnar as intimidating and scary, and he sits where he wants. He does what he wants. Look how menacing he is. And I would believe it if he hadn't gotten completely bitched out by Bill Goldberg twice in a row.
Yeah.
The last two times he's done anything remotely physical. If you want me to buy that Brock Lesnar is an intimidating person,
show it in the ring.
There's no reason that he can't just destroy Mark Henry. He can't just destroy Big Show. I mean, I know you're just rehashing what you're doing with Strowman, but at least then you're like, you're reminded, oh yeah, yeah, he suplexed Sami Zayn for 5 minutes at the Royal Rumble, but then he was immediately thrown out.
I've said this before. This is a classic WWE thing. What they do is they'll damage a character.
Mm-hmm.
They'll damage them. And then after damaging them for so long, we'll suddenly flip the script and go, no. Remember how tough he is? And
you go,
Dolph Ziggler, I don't care if you're winning the title. You lost so much, I can't take you seriously. Mm-hmm. Zack Ryder.
Yeah.
You know, all these guys. And God, did you ever think Brock Lesnar would be in that list?
Yeah, no. It's,
no. Let me just say, I liked the segment. I didn't love it, mm-hmm. but I didn't hate it.
No, and again,
I did not like it one bit.
Doing the thing again.
And again, like I said, Heyman is great at what he does. Him actually doing the promo, it was a great promo because it's Paul Heyman, but it's nothing we haven't heard before.
Yeah.
The only thing interesting was the way that they framed it with Lesnar being that close in the camera.
It was a little awkward.
To me, it just wasn't effective.
And I mean, if I could listen to just the audio, I'm sure it was a good promo, but I couldn't listen to the audio because I was just so.
Also, if Lesnar had sat still.
Yeah, like he, like.
Well, I get it. He's doing the, like.
Yeah, he's
like
just bouncing. He's just ready to go. Yeah. He's just ready to go.
Yeah, yeah, but he looked goofy. Like, and.
Well, that's because Brock Lesnar looks goofy.
Kind of, yeah.
Someone give him a beard.
Bring back that lumberjack beard.
Hashtag.
Yeah. But, like, in our group chat, I even said, Lesnar, in a pre-recorded segment where, like, when it was the elimination, or not elimination, Extreme Rules 2012, him versus Cena, and he's just like, I'm gonna beat the blood.
The sit down UFC style.
Yeah. Like, when he does that, he is so much scarier. Way scarier.
Agreed.
Than him sitting in front of a camera, bobbing his head.
And that's where I absolutely agree with you. Like, I feel like they should do those interviews more for him.
Yeah.
They wasted a Paul Heyman promo for that goofy.
Well, he doesn't, at this point, okay, I'm gonna say, he does not need Paul Heyman. If you've ever heard Brock Lesnar speak, like in those MMA style interviews, he does not need Paul Heyman. He does a fine interview on his own.
Yeah, listen, yeah. UFC 200.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's not a bad speaker if you get him in the right.
I'm at the point where it feels like Paul Heyman is being wasted on him.
Yeah, because how many times can he come out and say, my client, Brock Lesnar, beast incarnate, eat, sleep, conquer, repeat. Mm-hmm. It's just the same stuff over and over again. And then when Lesnar's not out there, Heyman is the biggest bitch in the world because he constantly gets punked out.
Yeah. I would very much like to see.
Cody, you got something to say on this?
I just would like to see Heyman paired with anybody else at this point.
Put him with
American Alpha, even. Just.
Alright, Cody's gonna join the show here for a second.
I'm gonna steal the microphone just to defend myself and not speak for Hunter, but I think we're on the same vibe with it. I think we just liked that the promo was something different in cinematography than we get from WWE.
We're kind of bored
with the fact that they do a backstage promo. Great. Yeah, it's the Michael Cole, WWE.com set up, whatever, that's fine, but it's something different. It was something fresh. So at least in that, it was something worthwhile. Yes, it didn't have the effect that it needed to at all. Yes, the guy looked coked out while he's bobbing in front of him. He kind of looked like he was listening to DJ's music from Street Fighter 2, just kind of bouncing back and forth with the maracas in his head. But other than that, it was just something different. I think that was appreciated.
And the reason that I don't like it as much as like,
lifting Dalton
as like a strictly like,
Mega Cody.
Cause they did something, they tried to do something different and interesting in the way they presented a promo. But it's coming after the opening segment of Raw, which is Kevin Owens in a suit.
Great promo.
In a spotlight. The entire arena is dark other than people's like phones. And it's not like the Wyatt flashlight thing. You just kind of see the background ambient lighting. He's straddled on the chair with the championship belt draped over it in front of him. And he just is calm and eloquent and just runs down how he was never a fan of Bill Goldberg. And it was a very effective promo with a unique setting that we haven't seen in a very long time.
But to that point, I was actually going to say, I don't want to criticize the Lesnar thing too much because I don't want them to not take chances.
Oh no, yeah, and like I said, it is an interesting dynamic. The way they did it in an interesting way, I just don't think it worked as well as you hoped. Yeah, it just didn't work.
But keep doing it. Like maybe not do it the exact same way, but
right.
Yeah, I love fresh stuff like that.
Go
like,
for other different camera shots and different stuff like that. Yeah, absolutely.
Do more Lesnar MMA style interviews. I think is what
that's,
Dalton
yeah, that's
would
not,
say.
That's not the criticism we're giving them right. for. Oh, they did something different. It just didn't land.
With that setup, it just didn't work.
Yeah. Ali was going to say something.
Because you mentioned, I didn't see it, that he kind of was like bobbing his head like he was listening to music. Would have been more effective if he sat almost just completely still, staring into the camera.
Just staring.
And then if he did move every now and again, kind of like do the neck crack kind of movement.
Like I do.
Yeah.
He got it from me.
That calmness. If there was a calmness about Lesnar this time, just ready.
Yeah.
Like that would be
like intense and not forced intense.
Right.
But Brock Lesnar is goofy. Yeah. If you've never seen the clip, which pay-per-view was it? Where he's on the outside of the ring and he flexes and goes, oh!
Oh yeah, no.
That was a Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, that
was that Raw?
Yeah.
The one that's spliced in with the Taylor Swift song and the screaming goats. Yeah, it's great.
But like, he looks so ridiculous sometimes. But other times he can look very threatening.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just that segment for me personally just didn't land. But the Kevin Owens one, I want to get back to that because it's not getting enough love. Was phenomenal.
That's because how many good interviews have we had in the past few weeks? Like by lots of people. Like, no, yeah. It's been a good couple of weeks for like promos.
It really has.
Yeah.
And has Kevin Owens ever let us down with a promo?
It's the same thing. It's like, oh yeah, Paul Heyman, he has a microphone and it was entertaining. Of course. Shocker. But yeah, Kevin Owens, but this was this felt like a different one because I think we're so used to the buddy, well, not even that, just like the buddy, like Chris Jericho.
The goofy comedy.
Funny stuff.
Yeah.
Where now we get a chance to see him back in the whole, you know, I hate you, Sami Zayn deal. Like, it's just
now he hates Jericho and Goldberg.
And the thing that he did with Jericho, where he's like, and about Chris Jericho, and he just drops the mic.
Yep.
Effective. Yeah. This again, it's like, yeah, we knew it was coming, but I do want to see this match at WrestleMania.
That reminds me, do you remember the interview that Rico gave after he turned on
Billy and Chuck,
where he was in the ring, spotlight, kind of a similar thing? Those are always very effective.
Yeah.
Like, anything that's different that makes the audience go, well, I haven't seen that before. Mm-hmm. Like, that's cool.
And I just meant even with just the way he was straddled on the chair, the belt hanging in front of him when he stood up. Like, he threw it on his shoulder.
You know what I miss?
It felt important.
You know what I miss? I miss those 80s interviews where, like, Gene Okerlund would be in the back and they just bring the wrestler in to talk.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the problem with that is they do not have a Gene Okerlund style. And I'm not saying someone as good as him,
yeah.
Just that style of interviewer.
Renee Young is the closest.
And she's real good, but she...
It's still different.
They also were not allowed to bring Coke to the backstage anymore. And that's what made those.
I don't think Gene Okerlund was on Coke.
He might have been. That wasn't what I was talking about.
You're talking about the wrestlers.
He just may not have been on camera.
if you've never seen, go YouTube this. If you've never seen the video of Hulk Hogan and Macho Man when they unite as the Mega Powers for the first time, that is one of the best, most Coke-fueled interviews you'll ever see. All right, let's move on to a guy who doesn't need Coke to be amazing. Austin Aries. Hey, so tell me about Austin Aries.
Double A. Or A double. Ooh, why did I mess that up?
Easy.
A double.
There was already a double A.
He's so good. Austin Aries, on 205 Live, Corey Graves was doing the normal kind of introduction for the highlight package of another star, like they've been doing. They did for Grand Metalik. They did for Tozawa for weeks. So now we're getting a new one. Austin Aries cuts him off, and he's like, you know, if you don't mind, I would like to do this one. Talks it up, and then we get the reveal of this is a video package for the 205 Live debut, in-ring debut of Austin Aries, the greatest man to ever live.
Which is good, because that means his injury's gone, he's ready to go again.
Yeah, which, and I think that's why he's been wearing the sunglasses too, is because he started doing commentary pretty early after that, and it was a nasty...
Yeah.
It was a nasty hit. But it was one of those things where I realized, oh yeah, you're going to wrestle. Which means you're not going to be on commentary, though, because he's been so – him, Graves, and Ronaldo are
there have been,
the best.
To me, there have been very few wrestlers that make a really good transition to the booth after – you know, and it's usually because of injuries. They have to stop wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
I can think of – the three off the top of my head would be Macho Man Randy Savage, CM Punk, and Austin Aries. Corey Graves. Well, yeah, yeah.
No respect to Corey Graves. No, yeah.
But just those are the three that I remember the most.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, Macho Man in the 90s was so good as a commentator, but he didn't want to be a commentator.
Yeah.
And I don't know many wrestlers that turn to commentary that want to do that.
They made the choice.
Have to. Yeah. So I'm glad Austin Aries is back though.
Yeah. I don't think we have an actual date yet.
Aries versus Neville,
but
maybe?
It's coming.
Aries versus any of them?
Yeah. Just Aries versus the world.
Anyone versus anyone in 205? Cause that's a,
just about, it is a,
that's
stacked
a damn
roster.
Good show. It's just, they recorded at the wrong time.
Yeah.
We've said it over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of, video packages, this is really cool. DDP announced for the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Thank God. If there's a guy that deserves it, it's Diamond Dallas Page.
I'm actually kind of bummed out that Kurt Angle is going to be the headliner.
You think it should have been Page?
It should be Page.
Yeah, I agree with that.
The only reason
if Angle wasn't in it.
If Angle wasn't in it, yes, absolutely.
Right.
The only knock that I have against DDP being a headliner, because yes, he absolutely, it all goes on the criteria of what makes a Hall of Famer. Because we have different levels of, you have Coco Beware and you have Ric Flair.
Yeah.
There's no real set, like, professional sports, and Cody would be the person to talk to about this, but like, where people have to vote.
Right.
Like, there is an actual selection process.
Yeah. Yeah.
DDP was always great in WCW, always very entertaining. He got just the shaftest of shafts when he came to WWE and that Taker
and lost
wife.
To Undertaker's wife.
Yeah. But his work outside of the ring and everything he's done for people like Jake the Snake and, Scott Hall.
Scott Hall.
Dear Lord. Yes, absolutely. That is incredible. And he 100% deserves to go into the Hall of Fame on that merit alone. But when then you look at Kurt Angle, who also his in-ring work, his personal life, the way he's turned it around, everything about it is, I have to give the nod to Kurt Angle, even though I feel like what DDP has done in the world is more important by literally saving the lives of these two people.
Yeah.
But in a wrestling WWE sense,
but see,
I have to give the nod to Kurt Angle.
They're trying to push things like Connor's Cure and stuff like that. And, see, I mean, and what we are arguing is just straight up
personal
preference.
And I'm not even arguing. Yeah. Like, I totally get
it. And like,
it's just,
I'm not taking anything away from Kurt Angle. I'm just saying what DDP has done. And you asked me this question about like Hulk Hogan versus John Cena, who's going to have a longer lasting impact. DDP is going to have a way longer lasting impact on wrestling than Kurt Angle will. And it's strictly because what he has done.
Well, not
outside
only that,
of the ring.
Not only that, Sting is in the Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how many matches in WWE can you hope, count on your finger that Sting's had?
Three.
Yep.
Exactly. Sting was put in strictly based on his WCW career, which was stellar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Diamond Dallas Page, if merited by his WCW career, I think is the equal of Kurt Angle because DDP was in there a long time. And not only that, DDP started late. Like he worked harder, I think, than
so
anyone.
Kurt Angle,
I'm not trying to take anything away from DDP's.
And I'm not, we're not even arguing who's better here
but
at this point.
DDP and WCW, maybe I'm wrong because I wasn't super into WCW.
He became a bigger deal later.
Way later.
And that's the problem, a bigger deal when WCW was going down the toilet.
Kurt Angle hit hard and for pretty much the entire time he was there.
Right.
And I'll even say and this is again just personal preference. I can name more matches that I will go out of my way to watch that feature Kurt Angle.
Oh, definitely.
Than I could for DDP.
No doubt. Yeah. I think Kurt Angle is a better wrestler.
But again, like DDP has legitimately saved people's lives. He's the reason I get to still watch Chris Jericho every week. It's the same reason. He's the reason I get to watch Kane still wrestle.
And he was married to Kimberly.
Yep.
She was hot.
Kurt Angle's
ever seen the 40-year-old virgin?
No.
Oh, well, never mind then.
I get why he deserves, like, why the argument would be made that he does deserve to headline.
Yeah.
But I also think that's a very specific crowd that would agree, like, people like us would absolutely agree with that. But the people, the ones that you're using to try to sell tickets to the Hall of Fame induction to get to watch the special on USA.
And also,
Kurt Angle's going to be the name that gets those views rather than.
And I mean, and to be fair, like, I think it's absolutely great that they have two huge names going in together because a lot of the time with the Hall of Fame, they'll have one guy that you go, oh, absolutely. And then a bunch of guys you're like, yeah.
Last year it was. Yeah. Last year it was, Freebirds, Jacqueline, Godfather, and Sting.
Which, all right, Sting and Freebirds. No brainer.
Jacqueline.
Yeah. Jacqueline.
I'm not saying.
Even the Godfather. Godfather, I think has earned his place in the Hall of Fame.
Charles Wright,
yeah. Yeah. Cause that dude, you know, when he was in, I was going to do the Lawler joke, but I can't remember what it was. Let's jump to that real quick. Since we're talking about. So, WWE 2K17 came out. By the way, congratulations, DDP, obviously.
And again, I don't want it to sound like I don't think he should go in or anything like that because I
don't think anyone believes that.
Okay.
For the record. So yeah, 2K17 released their new DLC and it is a Hall of Fame show? It's not called the Hall of Fame
Showcase. It's a Hall of Fame showcase.
It is.
Yeah.
And this one deals with Godfather versus Papa Shango.
Yeah.
In a fantasy match
we never got.
I wonder why.
I don't know. They should have brought him back for it. Do you get it?
I always hated Papa Shango.
Did you?
I never was a fan, but I think I was too young.
Well, I was going to say, was it because you were the kid and you liked the warrior? Or?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because I was a kid.
He made him bleed.
Yeah. He made him puke.
Blood.
Blood?
No.
Or black bile.
It was just disgusting is what it was.
It was scary.
So they did this for 2K17, and you may have already seen this, but during the match, they start talking about the Good Father, which was the Godfather's alter ego in Right to Censor, which was like this. It was basically Vince McMahon's revenge against the Parents Teacher Council.
Yeah. That's what it was.
Because they were coming down hard on WWE for their segments, like the stuff they did with Divas. Like, oh, this
is terrible. The bra and panty matches.
Right. The mud matches. Yeah.
The stuff that actually was terrible. You look back in hindsight and you're like, yeah, screw them. But now, like, 2017, you're like, they might have had a point.
But Vince McMahon, being Vince McMahon, of course, was like, well, I'll make fun of him because no one says anything bad about me. And he created the Right to Censor. So during this was a bunch of guys who were just trying to censor all the stuff so you didn't see it. And in the game, while Godfather's wrestling, Jerry Lawler mentions that he was with the Right to Censor and won the tag team titles, but flubs the line and calls him the Godfather instead of Goodfather. Well, they left in the whole segment where Jerry Lawler corrects himself, talks to someone off mic, and then does the whole segment again, and they left it in.
He says the line, he's like, oh, you mean when he was the Godfather, finishes out the entire line, which is another like almost 10 seconds worth.
Yeah.
Then brief pause. Oh, yeah, I did. Okay. Ready? Oh, you mean the good father.
And emphasized it so hard.
So what's supposed to be is like probably a 10-second soundbite is almost a 30-second soundbite that just slipped by.
And they just left it in. And that's really –
you know, honestly, oh, with this season or this game cycle – doesn't shock me with some of the things they've let slide.
Oh, okay. Can I just go on a full give me a 2-minute rant real quick?
Yeah.
WWE, especially under 2K, has been the worst when it comes to glitches. Every game has glitches. Some of the games have the exact same glitches they've had for years, and they've never fixed it. They never patch out some of this stuff, and everyone goes, oh, well, next year it'll be fixed. And then it's the same the next year. 2K is terrible when it comes to WWE development.
Wasn't it 2 years in a row where there was a like you lost all of your save data?
Game-breaking bug.
Oh, no, that was the same game twice. It was 2K.
It's happened multiple times.
Well, yeah, no, but the one you're talking about was 2K14
and 17.
Yeah,
because
it happened
this time because you lost everything.
Well, that was 16. I lost everything in 16.
No, it was 17 too. Remember, because you had to, you couldn't turn off the system if it was in like you could go to sleep.
Oh yeah, there was a game. Yeah,
yeah.
Every year, who does quality assurance on these damn things?
But 14 had two patches in a row.
Is it Eugene?
Let's not talk about Eugene. Whenever we have a slow news week, we'll talk about Eugene.
Okay,
we'll have a fun conversation about it.
So it's terrible. 2K's terrible.
No. All things terrible. I loved it. Besides the Sting 98 model. That was
jarring. The goatee?
Yeah, it's
the
ugly.
The monster goatee.
I have to. Do you have it here?
Yeah, it's
You might have to show sometime. You have to show it because I didn't get to see the picture.
It's gross.
Because I didn't have it out.
Yeah.
All right, we got to go through this. We got about 10 minutes left. We got things to talk about.
Oh, yeah. We're going
TNA
over.
Had to blur or Zack Sabre Jr. is going to New Japan Pro Wrestling potentially.
Yeah. Meltzer said that it's expected that he'll sign if he hasn't already. So.
Which we mentioned because he was in the tournament that the WWE had.
The Cruiserweight
we
Classic.
We expected to see him in 205 Live at some point, but just like Kota Ibushi, it looks like they didn't sign him. And that's a shame because Sabre Jr. is really good. Not quite as good as Kota Ibushi to me, but I'm a fanboy.
I'm more of a fan of him just because he wrestles
about having him in there, man. The matchups in my head, Sabre Jr. versus Kota Ibushi, Neville versus, you know, whoever, Austin Aries, like, I want these dream matches.
Yeah.
TNA, you sent me this, I believe. They had to blur a ref in the Quest for Gold segment. Tell us about it.
The Broken Hardys went to Mexico on their Quest for Gold to wrestle Super Crazy and Psychosis.
Which is a damn good team. I was surprised to see them.
I wish they would have shown the full match because they just kind of did the
highlights.
The highlights in that weird kind of cuts. Mm-hmm. Vanguard 1 was backstage hitting
on
all the Divas.
Oh, dear God. Dalton just sent me a picture of Wolfpack Sting.
Yeah, it looks.
Oh, dear God.
It ain't right.
It doesn't look good.
That's bad.
So during the match, to make it to the air, because it turns out the referee is under contract with Lucha Underground. So to be able to air it at all, they just had to completely blur out the ref.
Match, and that's really funny to see.
Yeah, it's kind of weird to see. So TNA also had a big story in Newsweek this week that I meant to look up the actual story. But it was just the new owners, Anthem, talked about, and they talked about the relationship with Dixie Carter, and just it really seems like it is a fresh start for Impact, and I'm excited to see.
Good for them.
Go read that article. The Rock filmed segment on Raw after the show.
Yeah, after Raw went off the air.
For the new movie, which is, what is it, Fight With My Family?
Fighting With My Family.
Where Paige and, it was when AJ Lee lost the title to Paige.
Yep.
For the first time. I believe it was Paige when she debuted, right?
The main roster.
And that itself is a pretty cool story, that The Rock was there. It surprised me that they had The Rock there, but they didn't use him at all.
Yeah.
Which is surprising, but The Rock got himself in some hot water.
Well, and even
no,
I just
didn't.
And
no, actually, okay, yeah. To be fair, no, he didn't, because The Rock cannot get in hot water.
He is,
as someone put it,
The Rock
does
the
not
Rock.
Need Vince McMahon.
No, no.
Vince McMahon needs The Rock.
Very much.
But
so.
What The Rock did is he came out and he announced the thing, and of course the crowd starts chanting CM Punk because AJ is his wife,
mm-hmm.
which The Rock says, "I'll call him right now."
Yeah.
Literally call CM Punk in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Punk did not answer.
Yeah. Well, Punk, apparently he was like walking the dog or something. So he didn't have his phone on him. Rock calls like, "Hey, I'm here. I'm on Raw. I'm at Raw in Sacramento at the Staples Center. This isn't a rib. But the people here have a message for you." And he holds up the phone and it's just the crowd deafening CM Punk chants. And it was just, and like, honestly,
that's
like,
a cool moment.
That is a nice moment. Yeah. And it's,
but you know what? Then, WWE hates it.
And then CM Punk actually responded on Twitter. He's like, sorry, I missed your call, but thanks to LA Staples Center, it was nice to hear from everybody. Yeah.
But you know why the WWE hates it is because they are trying their hardest to get people to stop chanting CM Punk. Mm-hmm. And to be fair, I do love CM Punk.
Yeah.
The anger Punk I had for him leaving once I understood the situation better is gone.
Yeah.
And I miss CM Punk. But I totally understand the WWE not wanting them to cheer him. And I don't think you should be chanting CM Punk's name at the events.
No, not at all.
Because he's not there.
Right.
You know, chant for the people that are working their ass off in the ring.
And we've talked
you.
About that before.
Yes. So I get why they're mad at The Rock. And I think it was a stupid thing that The Rock did.
Mm-hmm.
But again, to be fair, Rock does not care.
Right. He can do whatever he wants.
What are you going
to
say to The
Rock? And the whole reason he even went out there was to get people to stay and to get people to be
loud.
To get people to be loud, because it's like sometimes a WWE show doesn't just happen for the actual show that they paid to see.
Right.
So now, hey, stay longer after you've watched like 3.5 hours and cheer a movie being filmed.
I remember I saw a clip once. It was Darren Aronofsky, I think is his name. And if I'm said it wrong, I'm so sorry. When they were filming The Wrestler, and he had to go out in front of the crowd and talk about the movie to try to get them to act for this part.
Mm-hmm.
And it was rough. Like, to try to win that crowd over for a movie. The Rock would do a much better job.
Yeah.
But, by the way, Wrestler's a great movie. I'll say it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, no.
That's not a bold stance.
Bold stance to take, Cotton. We'll see if it paid off for him.
God. Yeah, so, Rock, they were like, Vince didn't like that, and Rock was like, cool.
Rock got in his gold-plated Humvee and drove off, throwing money out the side as he drove.
And just saving puppies along the way.
Yeah, and, right. And putting out fires.
Yeah.
His arm is like a rest for birds, you know?
It's a bird sanctuary. And
it's just,
ones.
It is just bald eagles the entire time.
Dalton, I want you to tell me about NXT. Cassius Ohno made his debut, and you are excited.
So
make it quick, though. We got like 10 minutes.
Yeah, he beat Bobby Roode beat Noé José. And I think he was about to do a beatdown or something.
He continued. He attacked him after the match.
And then you just hear Cassius Ohno's new theme, which, Jesus,
which
that is
just
amazing.
Oh, no. Oh,
and then
no.
It just goes into just like a hip-hop track, which is
really?
Perfect.
It's actually really good.
I'd like to hear it.
Ohno, like, Chris Hare has always been a big hip-hop fan. But so anyway, he comes out, runs to the ring, wearing jeans that are a little tight, a suit jacket, and then a Chris Hero t-shirt.
Yeah, it's...
I kid you not, wearing a Chris Hero t-shirt. So... he gets in the ring.
Because it says, like, I feel elbow.
And then on the back of it, it says, it's like, I'm, like.
It says, Hero is my hero.
Hero is my hero, which is, sure, I'm pretty sure you can get on Pro Wrestling Tees. So anyway, they're going back and forth, and just the amount of excitement, because they did, a vignette for him, that, like, and it was a song, and I was like, oh, it better not be Emelina. Like, I want it now.
We've seen him backstage. We've seen these vignettes have started, but this is the first time he's really made it a full-on appearance.
Hits the ring, and then Ohno just cuts a promo of just being like, I've wrestled 40 states, which I'm very confused on the 10 that he hasn't wrestled in, and then like, and just starts talking. He's like, you have what I want. I haven't got that yet. I've been here before. I didn't get that. I want that now. And then Bobby Roode's just like, all right, Mr. Ohno, if that is your real name, which just made me laugh, and then hits the ring.
Challenges him to a match. Take off your suit jacket. As he's getting ready, he does the cheap shot.
At the knee. Ohno rebounds from it and just hits him with a couple elbows, which I just still look very pretty. And I want this match.
To be fair, I want to point out that Scott Steiner also wrestled a lot of states.
Probably. I don't get this bit.
About 40?
It's a Scott Steiner promo where he was supposed to say, I've wrestled in a lot of states. And he's like,
I wrestled a lot of states.
Okay,
yeah.
There we go.
Just Steiner's great in some way. And then the UK wrestlers were on there.
Okay.
And
so
real quick on this.
I talked about it last week that I wasn't a huge fan of the UK championship taking a time slot on NXT.
Right.
Well, this week we get Pete Dunne and, Mandrews, who are...
Did you say Mandrews?
Mark Andrews. That's what his name was in TNA.
Mandrews?
Yeah. And I couldn't remember Mark at first. So.
And it said it on the back of his tights still.
They even called him that, I think.
I guess it's just his nickname.
Yeah.
So they wrestled in like a 12-minute match, which was a good match, but this is a time of rebuilding NXT. I'm sure there are people in the Performance Center who are ready to showcase their stuff. We got a video package for Patrick Clark. We've already seen them. Like, I don't know. It bugs me that this UK group of guys, if they're not going to be incorporated into the actual NXT roster, then they don't need to be on NXT, is how I feel. It's like watching Monday Nitro on WWF Raw.
So, Allie, we said before the show we were going to tell you that reference. Dalton, would you
yeah.
like?
All
right. No, Dalton doesn't get to because this is my reference.
Asa's bit. Asa, would you like to tell Allie
after,
what happened?
After WWE officially bought Monday Nitro and WCW and the show was canceled.
By the way, go read the book, The Fall of WCW by R.D. Reynolds. Great really... book. And it will make you cry when you see how stupid they were in the end.
Oh,
go ahead.
So bad. They did a, they instead, like, okay, well, we're not going to.
The death of WCW, I'm sorry.
We're not going to cancel Nitro. It's just going to be on Monday Night Raw. And so their first match were the two biggest stars that they got out of WCW, which was Booker T and Buff Bagwell.
Buff
Bagwell being a B-list celebrity at best.
He got over with his buff as the stuff. I mean, he was vaguely entertaining in WCW. He was.
Right.
But then he came to WWE and he was just
atrocious. When you look at the, when you look at the names that they had with Goldberg, Sting, the NWO, the LWO, the Cruiserweights.
They didn't have those names, by the way, because contracts were a thing.
See,
and they
well, that's
the
thing.
Couch.
Yeah, and by the way, those names, Ric Flair, Bill Goldberg, all of those came in later.
Eventually.
Because they could sit out and make the money that WCW had
without
guaranteed
without having
them.
To work, yeah.
Why would they?
Yeah.
So the big invasion was Booker T and Buff Bagwell and Rob Van Dam against the WWF's, at the time, biggest stars.
Yeah, you look at that Survivor
Series. Then
you look at that Survivor Series match.
Then
and it's
Hogan
just...
and Hall and Nash came in. And it's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
If ever there was an angle that was completely wasted, and I'm not the first person to say this by
it's
far.
It's not the first time we've said this on the show.
The fact that WWF bought WCW, the biggest rivalry in wrestling mainstream history, and they pissed it away the way they did, just so Vince McMahon could get the ego stroke of, I buried WCW, awful.
Yeah.
Just awful.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Here's what's not awful. New Day is going to host WrestleMania.
I have mixed feelings on it.
I'm fine with it because, I know New Day's not going to win the title. So I would rather see them throughout the show in an entertaining way. Maybe this time they won't get beat up at WrestleMania.
Right. Well, and this is, and that's the thing is it's like, so I would rather them have a meaningful role as hosts, which so far Hulk Hogan and The Rock are the other two hosts of WrestleMania that we've gotten.
And they both did good jobs.
Yeah. But also, but I'm just looking at the, look at the tier of name that they are now joining.
Wait, didn't LL Cool J host one?
He
no, he was
perform.
Just in the video.
I was gonna say, and there, I mean, I'm really just strictly going off of like wrestlers who have hosted it, because they may have had celebrity hosts before. I just don't remember off the top of my head.
Right.
So on the one hand, like the New Day, I think deserves a big profile match at WrestleMania, but I think this is better than just a meaningless throwaway, especially if they end up just like losing to someone like League of Nations. Like last year.
Well, like Rusev and Mahal.
Yeah.
If they lost to them or something. So, yeah. I'm looking forward to what the New Day can do. I think they're going to be entertaining.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Because you never know. All right, last thing that we're going to get out of here, and I wish we had more time to talk about this, but if you already know about Cage Championship Wrestling, then you know this weekend is a huge, huge show. It's Tag Team Warfare, and Asa's got the list right there. The big thing, we'll get to the main event match, but Asa, you've got those brackets. You've got the teams. Read them off for us, please.
So this is to crown the inaugural CCW Tag Team Champion. It's a one-night tournament. It's a lot of really big names. This is awesome. So it's going to be the LA Hustlers versus the team of Hollister O and Austin Lane.
And who, by the way, if you don't automatically get a little friction from Hollis and Austin tagging team together, check your pulse. You might be dead.
There's something wrong with you. We have Sexy Sarge and Little Bit, the team of...
Little sexy,
versus the Blaster and his mystery partner, who he was scheduled as a team with Brandon Barbwire, who was removed, who we'll get to. I genuinely hope it's Damone. I hope Damone gets brought in
because Damone is amazing.
Because Damone is a fellow member of the Pinnacle, and Damone is just amazing. I would really like to see them work together.
Absolutely.
We have the team of Roscoe Eat Lisa,
I just don't like the name.
I did hear from someone that has seen them and said they're really entertaining and good.
Which so, and the because
I liked when they opened for never mind. Did you know the joke they make?
I mean, honestly, like it's kind of the thing where it's like we look at Marvel casting and like, oh yeah, no, they know what they're doing. It's the same way I look at CCW when they bring in because like Roscoe and Lisa and the LA Hustlers, I haven't heard of, I don't know them.
Yeah.
Just because we're only really just now getting into the independent scene
in
the area. But there's no doubt in my mind that they're bringing in entertaining
talent.
People.
Yeah.
Because
Because Jason and Lee and Ken are smart.
Yeah, they're really good at what they do. So they're going to be, Roscoe Wheatley will be taking on, as of now, the team of Sarah Summers and Brandon Espinoza. We have the, and then the final first round match will be JD Wilkes, who made his debut, at Cage Last Chaos.
Who we've also enjoyed watching in Stride.
Yep.
Yeah. He's been very good.
JD Wilkes and Jason Vaughn.
Who is his mentor.
Versus Billy Hills and Del Tucker. The Hillbilly Psychopaths.
That's not their name.
Which is the name you have for me?
It's okay. We'll get there. If you want to know the name,
come to the show.
Come to Tag Team Warfare, and we'll fill you in.
Yeah. You'll hear us singing it in the front row.
So between Hollis and Austin and Billy and Dell, I am.
If that's the final match, I will be.
If that's the final match, I'm please. Because I'm really, really excited about Billy and Dell teaming up as well.
Yeah, I mean, oh my God, that's just the two best right there.
If they don't get the place, like, if a riot doesn't break out after their first match,
yeah,
which is a possibility.
Well, anytime Billy's involved, there's going to be a riot or a really awkward dinner at Steak and Shake.
I don't know what it is about that state line, but something just makes him cranky when he comes over.
He doesn't like coming in Missouri.
I don't know what it is.
So that is that's the bracket for the first ever tag team CCW tag team championship. But the main event of the night,
holy ghost,
for the CCW heavyweight championship, we have the hashtag the champ Brandon Barbwire taking on the one and only broken Matt Hardy.
Matt freaking Hardy is going to be in Cape this Saturday, and I've said to you guys, and I think I may have said it on the show before, that Matt Hardy was the first wrestler I ever saw live.
I think we talked about it last week.
Yeah. I was a big fan of Version 1.
Mm-hmm.
My nickname in college was Virgin 1, that way I could do the V1. Yeah, no joke, there's a picture of me in college holding up the sign. And I was so happy when Matt Hardy came out for that opening match.
Were you the number two MF-er behind Shannon Young, Shannon Moore?
I am Shannon Young.
You are. Wait a minute. And I haven't seen you and Shannon Moore in the same place at the same time.
You don't have a mohawk.
Not yet. Give me time. So that match couldn't be any bigger. Brandon Barbwire has faced a series of top level opponents.
Yep.
He started off against, in the finals, Billy Hills.
Mm-hmm.
He beat Billy. He fought Jake Durden. I want to say Tyler Durden. Damn it. He fought Jake Durden, beat him. He fought Austin Lane, beat him-ish.
After he
eventually
got beat twice.
Yeah. Eventually.
He fought Hollis Giroux, beat him. And then as soon as Brandon sits down in what I assume is a giant throne and goes, well, I can relax now, Jeff O'Dell calls him up and says, hey, Brandon.
Bad news.
You're going up against Matt Hardy.
Is that what you think Jeff O'Dell sounds
no,
like?
No, that was another guy.
He's gone now.
He left.
That was the guy that has to press all of his shirts.
He's the tie maker.
So,
yeah, Matt Hardy is going to be here this weekend, and he's going to fight Brandon Barbwire for the title. And I'm just wondering in my head, like, oh, how's Brandon going to get out of this?
It's like, what, Jeff O'Dell is going to be getting paid, like, hazard pay. He's going to be getting paid extra.
I like to think that Jeff O'Dell is going to come out not in a single color shirt, but in, like, a patch shirt of just a bunch of different colors because he's confused. He doesn't know what to wear at this point.
So it's a stacked show. General admission tickets are still available.
We should also mention that Angelina Jolie. No!
No!
Angelina Love!
Angelina Jolie will. She might be. I don't know.
They get the biggest stars!
PWG has celebrities lining up. There's no reason they aren't going to start showing up for CCW.
Angelina Love and Davey Richards
are going to
be there signing autographs and taking pictures.
And Matt Hardy will also be available for autographs and pictures.
Yes.
Where
can you get those tickets at, Asa?
You can get those at capewrestling.com.
Assuming they still have some. My God, this thing's selling like hotcakes.
I think I read that the online ticket sales end on Friday, and then everything else will just be at the door. But you can buy tickets at the AC Braze Arena here in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, behind Arena Park. Easy to find right off of Kings Highway.
Yep.
The general admission, the way the AC the arena building is laid out, there's balcony seats. Like, there's not a bad spot to sit.
No.
So
at any CCW show.
Oh yeah, no.
The seat's always good. Like, oh my God, you will be right there with the action.
It's just, I just like to highlight how nice the arena building is because I really like that.
It's our favorite.
I really like that as a wrestling venue.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So yeah, the general admission tickets, which as far as I know, it starts at third row. Or behind third row is general admission. So there may still be floor seats available.
Yeah.
Those raised seating still available as well.
Bleacher seats.
Why can't I think of the word bleacher?
I said Angelina Jolie. Don't go to the show this weekend looking for Angelina Jolie, please.
So, and this is really just a sneak peek of what we're going to get going forward with CCW. Yeah. I know we still have that huge April show coming.
Yes.
With Comic-Con.
Cole Cabana and Joey Ryan.
And Jeff Cobb.
Yeah.
Who I'm so excited for those
It's getting heated over
the
here.
Night before with the girl fight also that same month.
With Blue Pants will be there.
Yep.
Lethal Bates. No, not Moose.
Moose
Knuckles.
Is not going to be there.
Knuckles. What's her name?
I don't know who. I genuinely don't.
Is it Moose
don't.
Knuckle?
No.
Anyway.
Remember on Tuesday?
We're moving past it. We're moving past it. We're moving past it. No. Uncensored. Pro Wrestling Uncensored. No, that's not the show.
No. I'm not doing that show.
No.
No, what I meant to say was.
You know what you meant to say.
No. What is her name?
I don't know who you're talking about.
I think it's
about.
Knuckles. But
is it Knuckles? Okay,
I'm pretty sure it is.
Knuckles the Echidna will be there. Cody's laughing. That's what matters.
Mickey Lane's going to be wrestling as well.
Sarah Summers will be there.
Yep.
That's going to be a great show, too.
A little bit.
It's Madman Pondo's behind it.
Yep.
He's going to be helping out with it. That's going to be a good show.
Yep.
This is all I'm going to say, but the Pro Wrestling Unscripted crew may have been contacted and
we'll
told to show up early.
We'll be there.
That's all we'll say at the moment.
We'll be there.
Holla at your boy. That's going to do it for us. Please go get those tickets at capewrestling.com.
Yep.
And we'll see you at the show. Absolutely. We'll be back tomorrow with Podzilla After Dark, the hottest uncensored show on the Podzilla Network. Also the only uncensored show. You might not know, but listening to this one. Dalton, before we get out of here, will you please plug those things for me? And do it right!
So if you'd like to support us monetarily or just get some awesome PZ85 merch, you can go to patreon.com/Podzilla1985.
Where do they get the merch?
Is that where the merch comes from?
You didn't let me finish.
No,
because
no. He's got to learn, Cody.
And you can support us monthly through monetary means. You can give us a dollar. That'll put you on our website forever, I believe. We don't take the names off.
Nope. We don't.
If you give us more than that, we can even plug your shows on whichever show you want us to do. You can have any of us do it. If you want Allie to plug your awesome cat show, she'll happily do it. And if you would like to get some awesome PZ85 merch, made by our own Lindsay Woodgill.
Oh, jeez.
Go to redbubble.com and search Podzilla 1985. The designs are done by our own Lindsay Wolfgang, including that sick, amazing PWU shirt.
Yes.
Yes. And then
and
also,
as well as facebook.com/Podzilla1985.
Give us a like on there. Keep up with us here on the show. And also go to Podzilla1985.com. Look through the cast pictures. Look at us. Go to our Twitters. Listen to the old shows. You're going to love it. Thank you guys for listening to the show. Allie, Asa, Cody, Dalton. Thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for trying your hardest, Dalton. We appreciate it.
I did my best.
We'll see you.
We know.
You are now officially like your hero, Venusaur. What's he doing?
His best.
We'll see you tomorrow for Podzilla After Dark. Have a great night, guys.